Hey everyone, it's Tammy again with the Avondale Vineyard Christian Fellowship Church, and just wanted to come and share a few words with you. And I hope you're all doing well. And just a little bit of a heads up, those that live in the area, we are definitely trying to reopen church. So this coming Sunday at 6 p.m., we're going to be doing a women's Bible study here at the ranch. And you know, love for you guys to be able to come and hang out with us. All of your supplies will be provided. We are encouraging that you wear masks, and outside of that, just bring your Bibles and come and hang out with us for an evening of Bible study and journaling, and we'll see you then. It'll be this Sunday, the 7th at 6 p.m., and then next Sunday at 6 p.m. will be the men's group. And the following Sunday, we're actually going to have our first service together. It'll be outside, so bring your lawn chair. Services will start at 11. We also encourage you to bring a picnic lunch. And so we'll just, you know, each family just kind of set up their picnic area and just enjoy company and visiting and being together. And hopefully the weather holds up. So we really look forward to seeing you guys over this next month. And yeah, it looks a little bit different, but I think it's going to be a great fit for our little church and our community. So let's pray and get into the word, shall we? Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity for us to begin to come, you know, physically together and just worship and study and learn and grow. And Father, we just ask that you would bless those times, Father, that you would reach into the hearts and the souls and the spirits of each person. And Father, you would transform us. You would just continue to work in us, drawing us closer to you and ridding us of everything that hinders us from a deeper relationship with you, Father. I pray for this message, Lord, that you would just send it out and it would be an instrument that of hope or encouragement, Lord, that you would just use it. Father, we just pray for our world today. And we just ask that your peace would just break through, that through all of this, that people would realize and see your kingdom and your promises, Father, and they would just hold on and just grab for everything they're worth onto you, Father. Lord, we ask for your guidance as we get into your word. Would you protect us and help us to understand, give us clarity. Father, give us discernment. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I am aware that we started a study in the book of Hebrews, but again, just with all the stuff going on around us, I still just feel led to kind of, We're just going a different direction today. We're going to talk about hope. Last week we were talking about how God is with us and how we can proceed with that that mindset, you know, to know that I am God. We read Psalm 46 and just such a great encouragement, you know, recognizing and reminding ourselves that God has the power to stop the wars and to break and destroy all the instruments of war, and that we just need to settle, just calm down and know that God is still on the throne. God is still God. And, you know, and so today I wanted just to kind of keep with that same mindset. And I want to talk about hope today. And we can see that, you know, like all around us, there's different kinds of hope. And I guess that's really what we're going to talk about. Although faith and hope are closely linked together, they can clearly be distinguished. So that's kind of what I want to do today. Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes from hearing, and that is hearing the good news about Christ. So faith accepts the gift of the promise. It accepts, it receives. And hope confidently expects the completion of the promise. So when God says, you know, that we are forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross, we accept that. And then hope, we confidently expect the completion. So all the way through, we are completely saved. We are wholly saved all the way from now to eternity. We're saved. And so the Word of God says a lot about hope, but what it never does say, it never uses the term to mean uncertainty or doubt. And honestly, uncertainty and doubt cause us to question and remark with statements like, oh, I hope I'm forgiven. I don't know if you've ever said that, but, you know, some people, like, I think it happens to a lot of us. I think I've probably done it. It's just, you just, you know, oh, I hope. And then you get in that wicked little trail of, oh, I hope I said, you know, the forgive me, Lord, prayer the right way. What if I said it wrong? But then it becomes a thing of works. And so hope is this confidence, you know, in God's truth that I'm going to trust that. I have repented from my sins. I believe the Lord Jesus to be my Savior, to be the Son of God, you know, and because of the work he did on the cross, you know, he shed his blood, he poured it out for me. And because of that, I'm saved. And I'm just going to trust and confidently expect that all the way into eternity. I'm not going to waver in that area. So the truth is, I don't need to hope for something that I know I already have. You know, I want to spend some time today looking at different types of hope we can see in our world today, and the hope and hoping to help us better understand how to serve people around us, how to pray for individuals, how to pray for ourselves, how to grow in this area. So according to God's word, there are people in the world today who have no hope, and there are people who have false hope, and those that have true hope. And those are the things that I kind of want to talk about today. So no hope. Ephesians 2 verses 11 and 12, reading from the New Living Translation. It says, Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without hope, or without God and without hope. God tells us that there are people today who are described as having no hope and are without God. Hope is as essential to the human soul as our desire is to have air to live. You know, life without hope becomes an unendurable misery. And that burden is just too heavy to carry. In Ephesians 2:11 through 12, Paul discusses those who have no hope being without God in this world. Ever since the origin of man, man has put his hope in either one or more gods. However, we got to admit that there are still those who are distraught, people who are no hope in anything. They're without God. And the feeling of having nowhere to turn, the ache that things will never get better. My heart literally grieves at the thought of someone trying to navigate through this life with no hope. I can't even imagine. You know, Ephesians tells us, you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. I don't know about you, but I've run across many people in my Christian journey that did not know God. Their lives were riddled with worry and anxiety, stuck in the mindset that it's never going to get better. I've tried everything. You can see these people all around us, and Ephesians tells us they are in this place because they did not know the covenant promises God made to them. So how can we serve them? We share, you guys. Be willing to share God's promises. People are without hope because they have never heard the promises of God. You and I can ask God, use us as instruments to help the hopeless in our world. And we can do this by introducing them, by sharing with them the promises of God. We also see that there's people with false hope. Matthew 7:21 through 27, again reading from the New Living Translation. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name, performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents and the floods rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teachings and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Sadly, those who have false hope are more numerous, and I would even venture to say worse off than those who have no hope. Many people who have false hope can be found right in our own communities. False hope is worse than no hope at all. A man who finds himself hopeless may be inclined to accept the truth once he hears it, but one who has false hope must first admit that his hope is in vain before he or she will be able to accept another. Those who have false hope, a hope that's not built on firm foundations, are like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The addicted individual who thinks that it's not a problem. They can quit anytime they want. They have false hope. Someone who thinks they can escape their problems by getting high. False hope. Or by a new job. False hope. Someone who thinks that they can lower their stress level if they just smoke another cigarette or take a nap. False hope. The church member who thinks that baptism, membership, or deeds is all that's necessary to escape hell. I just need to get back into church and just be better dedicated. False hope. The rebellious child who destroys his or her parents or disobeys his or her parents and thinks that he or she's gotten away with their actions. False hope. The husband or wife who's unfaithful yet thinks they are clever enough to get away with their actions. False hope. The individual who says the only way to see change is to loot and riot. False hope. They are trusting and believing that something, whether it's a person or an action, their hope is in something or someone, and that that thing will deliver them. There are even those who believe in religions and religious actions will deliver them. If I tithe enough, if I pray enough, if I attend church enough, it's false hope. In God's word, Eli's sons were evil, but thought that since they were born into a prominent family, they could get away with their actions. False hope. Even wisdom that's not founded on the fear of God is vanity and false. The list of false hope continues on and on, even in our day and age. To battle and serve those lost in false hope, we ourselves need to be truly in the Word and deep in prayer, you guys, available to share God's truth at every opportunity. This is not the time to share your opinion. It would be wise to depend wholly on God's word as we proceed to share the truth that as it applies to their situation. We have to be in His word. And finally, true hope. What does that look like? Hebrews 6, verses 16 through 20. Now when people take an oath, they call on some stranger greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is strong and trustworthy. It is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. I know I keep telling each of you how important it is that we are deliberately and intentionally in God's word. To be hopeless is to not know God's promises. And if we're not in his word, being encouraged by his promises, then we run the risk of becoming hopeless. And if we're not relying on God's word, when we run the risk of having false hope, of being, you know, I got the answers. That's false hope. Unless it's in God, you know, but I can't help someone. not without God. It's God's power that works in me and through me. It's God's word that works in me and through me. We have to rely on God and God alone. Being in His word equips us to serve those around us who are lost and without hope. 1 Peter 3:15. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you or asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. You guys, our world needs hope. So many are without hope. Even more have been reliant on false hope, trusting in their actions and in their politics, in their money, in whatever. Because of this broken chaos, anger, fear, and pride are lashing out, unsure of where to turn or how to respond. We see people caught in this all the time, and we have to be available for God to use us to advance His kingdom in our world today. Take the time to really examine where your hope rests. Is it in your ability to do the job today? Is it in your ability to protect your family? Is it in your ability or your need for something? Or is it in God and God alone? Are you feeling desperate? Oh, if you are, please just reach out. Reach out to myself or a Christian brother or sister or a pastor that you trust and just seek the Lord. His promises are true. He is here, even in the middle of all this craziness that's happening in the world today. God is among us. God is sovereign. His will is advancing. He is on the throne. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be consumed with worry or anxiety. We have hope that God has the victory, that God is winning the war. He's won the war. Father, would you help us? Would you show us where we're trusting and we're hoping in wrong and false things, where idols have replaced you? Lord, would you help us just to rest in you and your promises, to trust them wholly and completely? Lord, you are worthy. You are faithful. You are honest and you are true. We have no reason to doubt or be afraid. So Lord, I pray that you would just grip our minds, our hearts, and our souls, and you would protect us against doubt, protect us against the lies of the enemy. You are here and you are taking care of us. You are in charge. And regardless of what we face, we can hope and trust in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Enjoy your week. Seek God in all things.